Channel 2 Right, beginning of Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Thursday night, Thursday afternoon, and at supper and after the 26th of August, 1971. Channel 2 Right, beginning of Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Thursday late, the 26th of August, 1971. Suzanne was here part of the time. Beginning of Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the visit with Miss Chitty this Thursday at 26th of August, 1971.
Do it. Mr. Petit says this is a soul friend, you know. Isn't that going to be so rough with him? And back over and thump, 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 thump. And bidding up. Are you going to turn him over again? I was standing right behind him. Boy, I stepped back about three steps and I had my foot rolled back, and if my foot had gone where I aimed it, he had Maga hooked up in the wall. Good thing it was a plank ceiling. It had been sheetrock. He sure went through it if it had done what it started with. He walked over and kind of put his foot up. He said, "Miss Chitty, don't." And I had on a pair of sharp toe shoes, too. I'd hit that man in the seat. He'd had to go into a doctor.
He was just a little rough.
He was just like he was turning a hog over, like he'd killed a hog. Kick him in hot water, drug him out, scrape this side and get him, go and turn him over and scrape the other side. And I don't believe he done anything for my husband. He was in the hospital, they call the hospital in McIntosh. I don't believe Strange done anything to help him. I'm like Mario, I believe he killed him. Keep from doing anything for him.
Yeah.
As long as I did know up to this day, I'd go with him, and I don't know what I'd do to Strange. But I don't.
And Frankie was.
And he was near about dead. I was listening here, Dr. Gaffer, is that the kind of help you bringing in here to help you with my child? Neither one of you ain't worth a darn. Of course, Frank walked up. I don't give a darn. I said, not doing Frankie right. Or did you roll him over there like you was a hog? You're going to skin him all over again? Miss P says, I tell you, he says, but I didn't know. Sometimes he'd call Miss Chitty, sometimes he'd call Miss Frank. He says, I tell you, Miss Frank, I didn't know Miss Frank had a temper like that. Frank says, she got a hell of a one when you get it stirred up, right? That's what Frank says, she's got a hell of a one. He says, I tell you, I don't blame Miss Frank, though. He said, but I believe I didn't put my foot up when I was there. I believe that foot would have went right up in that Dr. Strange's seat. No, Dr. Gaffer, he's down there. And the war. You've seen people with glasses that just had part of the glass down there. Didn't have nothing up here. And that's all the time he was. And I said, well, if I just know who down here, you wouldn't listen to his glasses. I got sick one time, we were going to call Strange. I said, no, you don't. I said, let me die a natural death. I don't want that hog in my room.
Yeah.
And he made me mad out there where we were living at now. He come out to Frank. I told him, I said, you ought to get somebody besides strange to come out here to your daddy, can't you? Well, you know, Dr. Gatrow's dead. And you know, Dr. Daly's dead. I said, go into some doctors over there around Williston that you could get. Of course, we haven't been dealing with things on buying groceries over at Williston now. Yes, we'll have to get strange. I said, yes, and you all gonna want me to, you all gonna want to do something too, ain't you? And you come out here treating your daddy mean like you did Frankie that time. I said, I'm likely to bring him with something. No, Mama, don't do that.
Was he just a little bit smarty, Miss Tilly?
And strange. Yeah. I think he thought he knowed everything, didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And didn't know it, he didn't know nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So when you come out there to find you, tuck him around, you know, and turn him over on his side and tump him on this side. And oh, and tump him on his back. But I think he kind of kept his eye on me. He didn't want me, he didn't want me in there. To hear what the doctor said to me. Mm-hmm. I said, well, they ain't kicking me out of there. I'm going in. Martin liked to be in me. He got mad. He was about to crawl home to him.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have another doctor that would hold him like he was when he was banging Frankie here. And come to find out now, after Frankie was so near dead with his typhoid fever and colitis,
they
kept telling it around that they had typhoid fever. It, Miss Chitty, you better not go there if you've never had it. And we didn't hardly have it. Anybody to come in, set up with us. Doctors said no, but Mr. P said yes, he's got typhoid fever.
Yeah.
Dr. Gatto says, well, how do you know? He says, well, I've had typhoid fever myself, and I have waited on and nursed 3 or 4 other cases that had it.
Now, who said that?
Mr. Matter the P.
No
friend of ours. Poor fella, he died from cancer eating his eyes out.
Mr. Dupee.
Yes, sir.
And he's the one that told him what he had?
Yes, and he sat right there by Frankie's bed. And time he got so near gone, he'd make me go lay down, but he didn't do no good. I couldn't go to sleep. I'd get up and go back in there. Why don't you sleep? I'm going to go to sleep. You can't do the work in the daytime and wait on him, too. I don't want to go to sleep. I can't sleep. And my child's sick like he is. I'd be right there with him. It'd be so hot. And it was in, October. My mother says that's Papa. That's we went down and put Papa away.
Oh, way back then?
It was in 28.
Yeah.
And then Frankie would get so cold that it looked like he was just dead. All he tells you barely breathing. There was all your little eyes and stuff. Long. Well, I was right there at him. I said, I'm right here, son. What you want? That's all he said, Mom.
Yeah.
And Frank was worried up so bad about him. He wouldn't let me see him. He wouldn't let Frankie, because Frankie just had a half eyes half open. Wouldn't let, I don't know, see him crying, but I know he cried because his eyes were just as red as could be. He was sniffing around and knew he didn't have no cold. He was trying to protect me. Make me think that it wasn't as bad as it looked. And Frankie got feeling better. And this old friend of ours, he went with his...
Mr.
Dupuy.
Dupuy.
He went with his stepdaughter. Miss Littles to Gainesville to see somebody up there. Her sister, I think, just this, and they come back. Miss T.S. Frank. Well, Miss Frank is her little Frank. If I said he rested better today, Mr. Miller, than he has, and I don't know him. Mm-hmm. And you know, our man broke down and cried and told us that. He said, you know, he says, I just know that John, when I come back, you're going to meet and tell me a little Frankie was dead. He says, I just give up hope.
Is that right?
And he went around on in the house. Come on in after Miss Littles left. She says, yes, as you know, Miss Chitty says, mentor says that he didn't think little Frankie would be alive when he come back. She says, but I'm so glad. She says, look at him running. He running, and got down on the floor right by Frankie. He says, well, Frankie, says, how you feeling, son? She looks at him and says, you know who I am? Frankie came out of his head. He says, well, how do you feel? I feel better. And it's kind of low talk. He says, well, thank God. And we got in there, Mr. D was praying. We all stopped right where we were at. And he stood on the chair that he generally sits in, right by Frankie's bed. That was Uncle Martin's favorite chair in the house, you know. And sat down and bent over that way and cried, and the tears just ran down on the floor. And Frank went away and said, Mr. Matt says, say, Matter, he says, don't do that. He says, you're getting us all upset. Time to turn down. I feel better. But he couldn't talk good. He was weak, you know.
What was wrong with him, your friend?
Yes. Doctors didn't believe it. They might have known it, but they didn't were on up to it. Nevertheless, Dr. Gack will come back out. But they're too late to that. He says, where's Mr. G? Frank says, I'm right here. Just give me a minute. No, he'd been in and seen Frank in. Come out. He says, tell Mr. Chitty, I want to talk to him out here. Frank went out, and he was really down. He believed he had typhoid fever. He better keep the rest of the children out from around. Frank says, great God Almighty, a doctor, and don't know nothing. And I tell him, even when somebody else has done told you what's the matter with my child, keep the rest of the family away from around. Says, Doc says, you ain't doing nothing. Says, as soon as I can get the money to pay, I'm paying you up. I says, and I don't know whether old stranger's going to get a penny or not. Now, I says, well, if Strange gets a penny, you pay him. You had no business dragging him out here. That looked at me, right? He said, you were fixing to give him one, wasn't you? Right in the seat. He seemed.
Yeah.
Picked my foot up.
Well, whatever happened to this friend of yours, Miss Chitty, this Mr.?
He went.
He didn't live there.
Well, he stayed in and out anywhere and everywhere as he could get to stay.
Oh, he did?
And the Nixons and his daughter and his stepdaughter, I think. And sometimes he can be out there in his little old house up there close to where Willie lives. Well, I'm going to have you right now. You just rough step there.
So he just stayed in the neighborhood.
Just lived around where anybody let him stay with him.
And he stayed with you all every now and then?
At least a week, some months at a time.
Is that right?
Nothing doing the field with a hoe or anything like that. You're right there, Frank and Jim.
Oh, he could work in the field.
Yes, sir. Poor fellow, though, died from cancer eating both of his eyes out. Yeah.
But I guess he had friends, a lot of friends around. He pretty friendly fellow.
Mr. Miles, he was friendly, but he had very few friends around Flemington. He was doing some work for a widow lady there. And he went to the front gate. She told him, says, don't come any close to. Says, I'll bring your money out then. And then she handed it to him like she thought. Then he touched, it would run up to her and be nice to. I bet that old soul had done some suffering too before she died.
Oh.
Well, he didn't go spotless clean, put on clean clothes, but he didn't take the best that he should. And He used to live part of the time. He'd stay over in his house. And you go to Will Pardee's before he died. And you go from there to Ben Mixon's and Ms. Mixon before either one of them died. Well, she died since he had. But his sister, she be High Springs, I believe. Miss Fudge, her son was a judge, you know, in the tell. They go.
Last drop.
Good to the last. And she'd send him big packages of good, nice, brand new shirts. Their pins hadn't been taken out of. Underwear and pants. And he had a big trunk over that. Had locked it. Had locked his door. He'd go and put them clothes in that trunk. And he said he didn't know anybody around you if he had all them new clothes. And then party boys. And I don't know. There's some other boys around there. They'd go in there. They'd go in his house. And they'd steal his clothes. Too big for him, for them. Too big for their fathers. I guess they'd take them off and sell them, or maybe they'd sell them to some niggers that could win. And that's just the way them people done that thing. And he's waited on them boys, father and mother both, when they'd be very sick. He's walked to make him open to get Dr. Bailey, a Dr. Walker, to come out there to him or get the medicine and pay for it.
And still the boys would prank.
Sir, yeah. They'd tear up and steal everything he had. He couldn't. He said one time he was going to buy him some groceries and stay in his house. And cook, eat, and if he wanted to work for anybody, he'd go work for him, go back. And they just kept his trunk and everything he had, and they just tore up and tumbled up hunting for money. And he said one time he forgot, and he had, I think it was $20 or $30 in small bills and change, you know. And he thought he had it hid. He says, well, I tell you, he says them boys, I don't know where to call them boys or what. He says, but they tore up everything that looked like could be a hiding place for anything. He says, and they found my money.
Oh, and he would tell you about all that.
Yes. And he got where he'd leave his money with me and Frank whenever we'd have a good lot of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, people kind of like for him to come around.
Oh, if he'd work and not stay for a meal or anything, they're all right.
Yeah.
I just can't eat the rest of my meat, Miss
Myers.
You
did real well, you did.
Every bit of it was delicious.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying
it. I'm
keep that for breakfast.
I'm glad. That was a good, you did fine.
I do that like a done piece Margaret fixed for me here a while back. She gave fried a teeny bit too hard.
That was,
but that's not hard.
That was, that's not quite as, well, that was a good bit of it.
Well, did he do like Uncle Jim, fish and hunt and things like that?
Mm-hmm. He'd fish, oh, he'd fish. Come in with sometime with, I always call them trout. A lot of them call them bass. Only from here. Oh, big old white thing. Maybe two or three of them.
Foot long.
Great big woman, perch. Nice big grim.
Like he'd be welcome wherever he was, doesn't it?
Well, Mr. Miles, he was this one's friend, that friend. As long as he'd hand his money out to him and give him his strength, power, work, you know.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I see.
But it wouldn't come time to pay him. They didn't have no money. They couldn't pay him. They could borrow it from him, never pay him back.
Oh.
Good to the last drop again.
Mister, I didn't, the only party I know is Cecil. Now, his daddy had a lot of boys.
Well, there was Cecil. There was Albert. There was Clarence. And Larry. I think it's four boys. And two girls.
Yeah.
And this Ruby Reynolds that works over here in Palmer Store, just before you get to Reddick, that Cecil's oldest sister.
Oh, it is.
And the other sister, well, she didn't live too well. Didn't live too well.
Yeah.
She never did get married. And they'll always say that they believe she was taking up too much time with her boss lady's husband and she got poisoned. They say poison killed her. Rosie was a beautiful girl. In case she was much prettier than Ruby was. Ruby Reynolds. But I tell you, the beautiful ones don't make it like the rough.
Not always. Well, now, Ruby's right clever, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
And she's been over there a long time.
She's been working there for Palmer for, I don't know how long.
20 years.
And her father and mother lived where Larry, no, where Larry, and he's got a son named Larry. And well, didn't have, neither had two. He had two boys and a girl.
Well, where was the home place?
Where, Flower Party's living now.
I don't know.
Up from Ike's place. Ike Nixon's place. Come, like here's the road going to my house.
Yeah.
Turn off at Ike's where it just keep coming right on around.
I see.
And the party place is over here.
I see, yeah.
And Flower, he's got the place. And I don't know whether it's ever climbed up or not.
Well, how come Cecil to settle where he did?
I don't know. He just bought that place.
Bought the place.
I don't know where it belonged to Albert Zittrow or who, but anyway, he bought and settled there.
Who's his wife?
He married a widow lady, and I can't think of her name.
Oh, I see.
Can't think of her name.
Yeah. He's just been married once?
Mm-hmm. No, sir.
Cecil?
Cecil been married, let's see. There was... Ola. What was that little gentleman's name? Can you tell me? I think this woman he's got now is his fourth wife. I can't think of the other gentleman. I'll name over.
Fourth wife? Well, which one is his, had all his children?
Well, I don't know.
He got children all over the United States.
There's one made of McElroy, that's Ruth. And one married Wayne Yonge, Otis Yonge's son, oldest son, the Barbara here in McIntosh.
Yeah.
Now that's by one wife now.
Now that's not,
I think that.
That's not Margaret's friend.
Hmm?
That's,
what?
That's not Margaret's friend. Irene?
Mm-hmm. Irene's husband, Margaret's friend. And I can't think that.
Well, that's 2 minutes to think of it one time.
I can't. I think he had, by two wives, I think he had.
Well, I tell you what.
Had two boys and a girl by one. One wife.
Yeah.
Five children, I think, was all he had by two wives.
Yeah. I tell you what, the happiest person that you have gone, that you have talked about, is Charlie White.
Did you know him?
Just through you.
Oh, boy.
Now, he could take care of himself pretty well.
About like Mr. B.
Oh, you mean they took advantage of him, too?
He'd go here and he'd go younger. He'd go here and he'd go younger. And visit around the bound. And as Frank said, take him half a day to the whole 3 rows of corn or peanuts. He was so slow. He says, I don't see how he kept out of the way of a gun in the army. He was so fun to shoot it. Yes, he walked slow and sloped and slouched. Brother Frank, what you going to do today? Well, I got to work, Charlie. You want to help me? According to what it is. He says, well, there's another hole out there. Says, boys are done gone on. You can get the hole and go up there and hole with them. I believe I'll go on over to John. Old John McCurran's his cousin. He hated work.
Oh, he did.
And then he finally married a woman there in Meganope. And Sturm says, well, says, we're going to leave him around here. He says, well, I ain't going to live in a place where I've got two living husbands. So they lit out and went to Miami.
Uh-oh.
Well, she heard this other husband had went somewhere else. Well, they come back to Meganope. Brother, we in and out of making up in my house. I think she finally passed away. And Charlie hung around making up there. They had a little place there. He hung around there, hung around. I think he finally sold the place and he died. So I think that ended Charlie White.
But he he would help you with the stove wood.
Oh yes, he helped Frank cut, saw and cut stove wood like that. But that was all. He do much work in the field. Where it was where Frank needed help, he couldn't get it.
Oh, I see.
And they'd cut wood for the fireplace. And he'd cut wood for the stove, wood stove, when he was cooking on wood stove. Blocks, maybe, wouldn't be quite as long as a shelf, about like that big old round block.
Yeah.
He'd put them up out, block them up, quarter them, you know, and then he'd sit down on them and put it back. Get that quarter just about cut up in the stove. Maybe Frank come to the house and say, "What's the matter, Charlie? You going to sleep?" And you stop standing and watch Charlie split that wood. "What's the matter, Charlie? About going to sleep?" "Oh, I'm just thinking about my girlfriend, Frank." And he says, "Well, in case your girlfriend come up and see you doing anything," I said, "well, Charlie White's too lazy to take care of me."
See, here it is, past dark, and nobody is worrying or saying a word. Isn't that something?
I'm just fixing to say.
We gonna kidnap you?
Yeah,
you're
if y'all don't mind, I'd like to go home.
Bless your heart.
Back, you go back to my roost.
Go to your house. Go to your house.
Yes, well, we have really had a nice visit.
Yes, sir, I've enjoyed it, but I can tell you, I hated like everything it seemed to get ready to come over.
I told you not to get ready, just to come.
I couldn't come like I was. I got me another bottle of that tears to come back from the doctor's office. I hope when I go back to him in 2 months, he said, "Well, Miss Chitty, I don't want to see you anymore soon."
Now that's Channel 2 right. Oh, around 600 or 700. And the end of the visit with Miss Chitty this Thursday, the 26th of August, 1971. Channel 2 right. Around 650 or 700 this Thursday, the 26th of August, 1971. And the visit with Ms. Chitty. Suzanne was here a while. And this is Channel 2 right. And the end of the around 650 or 700. This and the end of the visit with Miss Chitty, this Thursday, the 26th of August, 1971.